Welcome to Marketing Talks, a podcast that unpacks the careers of marketing leaders by providing insight on how they are growing the brands and organizations they are a part of. Learn practical tips and strategies on how you can grow within marketing while avoiding mistakes along the way. Hey everybody, my name is Jonathan Kaur and I'm a marketer, and in today's Marketing Talk conversation, I have somebody that I actually recently worked with a few months ago with a company I was previously at as a consultant working on marketing strategy, social media strategy, content marketing strategy, and his name is Galen. He has a background working with companies in the fashion industry, in the music industry, and even tech industry. So thanks for hopping on this call, Galen.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So let's kick it off real quick and just have you just share a little bit more about who you are, what you do, and just some of the different companies and brands that you've worked with.
So I was on Nordstrom's brand marketing team for a few years in the creative projects team there. And then my wife and I relocated to London for 4 years. And I worked at a tech specialist agency working with brands like Cisco and Salesforce and Facebook and a ton of brands like that. And then coming back, back to Seattle to home, and I've just been freelancing and consulting on a big project for Amazon right now. And then I've worked with a lot of musicians and brands kind of in that space over time as well, kind of on the side. But where I come from, a traditional brand marketing background, the last few years I've kind of transitioned into the creative space and really followed my passion there. And the creative director at the agency really championed me to kind of make that jump. So loving that.
Yeah. And honestly, getting to know you from the consulting side, I could for sure tell you know your stuff. And like anytime I'd ask a question or something I'd be curious about, you knew how to answer, but also you knew specifically based off of experience. I think that's always a key thing is like, okay, like if I have a specific question, you know, based off of a certain campaign or certain organization that you worked with, how and why you should go this route. So that really brought a lot of value to me. So right now with COVID-19 coronavirus, we're all experiencing it worldwide. How has it affected you within the line and scope of work that you're doing, and how are you adapting if any?
Totally. Yeah. So, it's definitely wild times right now with everything going on. And, I'm fortunate enough to not be affected personally from an employment standpoint, but, I'm working on a contract, role right now for Amazon on their, D1 team, which is kind of an internal creative team, and leading some of their programs there. And it's really interesting. The programs I'm leading were all based around photo shoots and producing all these assets and these on-site experiences. And a month in, not even, the shoots started getting canceled as this stuff came up. So it's been kind of a scramble to pivot and think about, them as a business. They've never faced anything like this. This is one of the biggest companies in the world. And we're having to kind of think on our toes and every day shift directions and come up with processes on the fly and figure out solves to do the best you can and maintain that kind of quality. And I think the really interesting thing for me is seeing from the inside how that company is handling it and really keeping the customer first and foremost, which, everyone always says the customer first and the customer's always right. But like seeing how much is going into making sure the customer is the focus has been really impressive. You hear good stuff and you hear bad stuff about big companies like that, but I've been pleasantly surprised at how they've handled the situation so far. So
when it comes to adjusting specifically in a time like this, how do you find ways to add value, especially when like the script, everything that you had been planning for, specifically the role that you have, is completely thrown out the window? How do you like find ways to continue to be optimistic, but then also adapt and pivot, whether it's yourself, if you're a one-man band, or even in this case where you're working with a team?
Yeah. Well, I think that, if that's kind of two beasts, if you're working by yourself, then you know, you're kind of the boss and the worker. So you're kind of defining what you're going to do. And it's right now it's a big test and learn. Nobody knows. There's no playbook for this thing. Like, we've never been in a position like this before. So there's not really a right or wrong. I mean, there's definitely wrong ways to handle it. People have put some pretty insensitive stuff out. But, you know, I think it's just not, I think maintaining a positive outlook, right? And as much as you can, and not just being like, oh, this is the worst, everything's ruined, and just going down that spiral, but looking for solutions rather than complaining about problems. It's a good opportunity to innovate or try things that, you know, so for my instance, like with these creative programs, they've always photographed them and that's been the template, but the creative director has always wanted to see like, what would happen if we did graphic solves instead? And instead of doing a photo shoot, we design these. But that's never been the norm, so it's never happened. And this has forced us to do that and test it. And if this is more successful or is successful, it might become the new norm, you know? So it's kind of innovation through destruction in a way. So I think it's finding those and really capturing those learnings and keeping track. And I think the really interesting thing is how everything with marketing is measured with KPIs and goals and that sort of thing. And it's just like, all that's out the window. Year over year is screwed. There's no previous pandemic to compare how this one did to last. So it's kind of almost a refreshing restart in a way. Yeah.
Awesome. You kind of alluded to something I didn't have on my questions, and you actually made a LinkedIn post about it a few weeks ago, just talking about what brands should be doing, what brands shouldn't be doing. What are some of, like, if you don't mind just sharing real quick, what are some of the things that you've seen brands and companies pivot to that is working? And also, what are some of the things that you alluded to, like, kind of insensitive or just not, you know, adapting to what's going on right now? What are the wins and losses that you've seen?
Definitely. The main loss you're talking about, my LinkedIn post that got some people riled up, was I got an email from True Value, the hardware store up the road, with coupons trying to drive customers in store to shop, which just blew my mind. And it, you know, my comment was like, if it's just them being insensitive, or if they furloughed or fired their marketing person and that was pre-scheduled and no one knew how to turn it off and it just went out. So I give them the benefit of the doubt, but it was pretty wild that like the mayor's on TV, the president's on TV saying, stay inside, and then True Value's like, hey, here's 50% off in store only, come in today. So that's a loss. I also think a loss, like, there's been so many people comparing all the TV commercials from Facebook and Uber and, you know, all these companies, that's the exact same template. And it's like to the point where like the sentiment of, you know, thanks to our healthcare workers, thanks to da da da, like, obviously we all feel that, but it's like such a template of these like empty street panning shots. And then like this narrative, and it's just lost the sentiment, and you lose who, like, oh, I've already seen this, but actually it's a different company and they're not even getting the credit because you tune out because you think you've already seen it. So that's a loss for me. But I think the people winning are people that are just being really open and honest about the situation, especially from a small business standpoint. I think companies, restaurants, people that can't open, have pivoted to, you know, delivering coffee beans or you know, thinking of different ways to, where as a coffee shop they can't be open, but they're getting into coffee subscriptions or selling prepaid, you know, gift cards for the future for a discount, and then offering online like free how to make coffee at home in artisan ways, and all these things that keeps your community, your customer engaged, and your community engaged, and kind of keeps you relevant through this when the customer can't come in, and it's easier to just order a 5-pound bag of coffee beans from Costco, and it's no brand and there's no tie in there. To stay top of mind is hard. And I think being real and just communicating the struggles of a small business through this and what you are trying to do to stay relevant. And I think the big miss too, I've seen a lot of businesses complaining about lack of help from the government and lack of this, but no one's actually letting the consumer know how they can help, you know. And I've got friends who run businesses, they've got bars downtown and that sort of thing. And they're like, we're never going to make it. Like, no one's looking out for us. And I'm like, hey, how can I help? How can your patrons help? How can your customers help? Like, you haven't actually asked. And I know part of that's probably a sensitivity thing. Like, oh, I don't want to ask people to do things when maybe they've been laid off or whatever. But if you've got a true community, like, that's the point of a community, is to hold people up, right? And maybe you've got a way of helping them in the same way they've got a way of helping you. And I think there's potentially a lot of value there.
Yeah, I think that's a great list. I've seen some of those your wins and losses. I've seen them in other organizations, but it makes complete sense what you're saying. So now, going back to marketing specifically, what are, in your opinion, what are the skills and like characteristics that make a marketer essential, especially right now? You know, everybody's using the word essential worker, but I want to use it more specifically, focused within an organization. How do you make yourself essential specifically as a marketer, whether it's the skill sets or the knowledge or the experience? How do you become indispensable?
Totally. I mean, I think right now, like, it's on a company by company basis, right? Like, it's what your P&L says is the highest cost with the least amount of impact, or like, we've got a 5-week run rate, burn rate based, you know, on the cash we have in the bank. And, you know, any time that companies do bad marketing is usually the first thing to go. And I've always found that wild, because marketing is what drives new business. So when you're struggling, cutting that's, and obviously this is different, unprecedented times, but, I think it's company by company, right? Like, I don't think you can be one well-rounded thing that works in every situation. So some companies, most of their marketing is email marketing, and I could be a whiz at SEO, or I could be a whiz at social, but if their business is an email and I don't know anything about email, I'm irrelevant, you know? And so I definitely think it's understanding, finding companies, finding roles that align with your strengths. And that's the biggest thing. And you can add the most value. And then that's where you're going to be, prove that you're indispensable.
Yeah, for sure. And you kind of mentioned the P&L thing, and, you know, specifically, like, you know, companies that don't do marketing well, they tend to look at that position and that role as a little bit less essential. I kind of want to dive a little bit into this, because I actually heard this from other marketers too, and even other business people, just saying like, the marketing department either is the first thing that's always evaluated and hit right away, whether it's either people being furloughed. And let's just take this certain circumstance out of the equation, but just in general, just depending on the rhythms of the business, where they're going, either people are let go, or, you know, the team gets scaled down or whatever. Why do you think that happens specifically within marketing? Like, what are some of the reasons that you've seen or noticed why that happens?
I think a lot of times upper management or leadership doesn't directly see the benefits. You know, with sales, it's oh, we've sold in this much, or we've done this, and it's a lot of those sales come from marketing, but it gets attributed to sales, right? So CEOs or leaders aren't engaged in the marketing conversation enough, don't understand the impact it has. So to them, they don't get it, you know, and so they're like, oh, that's the first thing to go, or the finance team doesn't get it, or, you know, and so I think it's an easy target. You think when you're struggling and it's like, okay, what are our essentials? It's like, well, we need salespeople to go sell. It's like, they're making those sales because marketing's bringing the leads in. If you cut the leads off, even if your salesman shit hot, they're not going to bring, you know, they're not going to have anybody to sell to. And they've relied on marketing, so they're out of practice, or they're not necessarily have their own streams to go get the money you need. And so, you know, you're kind of paddling water out of a sinking ship.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. And I just wanted to talk about that. Like, obviously, I'm not assuming every company is like that, because there are companies who for sure value it. Obviously, there's certain decisions that need to be made. But I just think I've been hearing a lot more now. Like, it's interesting. I've been hearing a lot more now than ever before. And so I just wanted your perspective. I'm sure I'll get more people's perspective on what they think. But I'm sure it'll go in line with what you were saying.
Yeah, well, and I don't think it's the quality of the marketer, right? I mean, if you're bad at your job, like, that was going to happen eventually. So maybe the COVID sped it up, but like, there's really good people and really high up people that just, you know, they're amazing or bringing tons of value to the company, but just right now the company just can't swing it, you know? And it's I've seen a lot of people on LinkedIn and stuff posting. It's like, this isn't a dent to my ego at all. Like, I know I'm good. It's just the circumstances, you know? And when that job opens back up, like, they're going to come knocking, and, you know, I'm open to going back. Like, I've, you know, a lot of people have respect for the company and know it's not personal. It's just, but I think that's the big thing, is just not to take it personally.
Yeah, I think well said. I agree. The mindset and how you approach it is for sure very key, especially right now. What are some of the ways that you're learning or staying on the cutting edge about marketing or creative? I've seen actively on LinkedIn, you post different campaigns that you're very fascinated by. What are some of the ways you continue to get like creative ideas within creative and marketing?
I follow a lot of coming from the UK, like in London, the award scene there is really big for marketing and creative. There's tons of awards and that sort of thing. And so all of those different organizations are constantly posting work that is, you know, on their radar or that sort of thing. So I follow a lot of kind of creative publications, marketing publications, and the stuff they're posting to kind of keep up with the work that's going on. And the way that that's shared oftentimes is through a case study. And so it kind of shows, oh, the client came with this problem. This was the budget, or this was, you know, this is how we approached it. This is how we solved it. These were the results. And so that case study mindset is kind of how I've learned to kind of analyze stuff. And so I just keep an eye out for what's going on and then just kind of pack away ideas and, oh, this little piece is nice here and this is nice here and oh, I like that there. And then depending on the brief or what I'm working on, then have a library of things to pull in. But that's really like following people that I admire or people that I think are really, really creative people or really, really good at marketing or whatever their thing is, just following that and keeping an eye on what they're doing and kind of staying inspired and getting ideas from all over the place.
Yeah. And actually speaking of getting ideas from all over the place, I think that's super important. I think sometimes specifically if you're in a specific industry, one of the things I notice is like some people end up just focusing on the industry, getting ideas from that industry. Whereas I think some of the more people who really set themselves apart from a marketing creative standpoint are looking at a breadth of industries and really getting an idea. I remember you and I were talking about different things within the, you know, marketing strategy for the company I was at. And you had mentioned, hey, like there's this idea I actually heard about from this other company. It had nothing to do with the industry we're in, but I think it always feeds, like I think creative and marketing is just so, could be so broad, even though sometimes it's so focused in on a specific industry. Like this is what we do, this is why we do it. But I think finding ways to stay on the cutting edge or get different ideas from other industries is super important. So yeah,
totally. Thanks for sharing. That's going to set you apart. And you know, we were chatting earlier and you can learn, it's easier to learn an industry than it is to learn a whole new set of skills. And so, you know, it goes back to that thing. Like if something worked in this, why not try it here? And, you know, the success we had at the agency in London was with my creative director and our team was, we looked at how do you humanize tech in a B2B tech world where it's so tech jargon and so, you know, blah, 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 nobody on the outside would get it. We approached it. My creative director came from a TV commercial advert background. And so he was used to making, you know, these big multi-million dollar TV campaigns and all this stuff. And it was like, why treat a B2B prospect different than a B2C prospect? Because those B2B people, when they go home, they're being marketed to as a consumer by everybody else. So why can't you talk to them like that as a business, and kind of level the playing field? And so we took a lot of tech stuff and kind of broke it down to a point, these really big complex things like 5G and through animations and, you know, augmented reality apps and things like that. We were able to take these really complex things and make them to a level that, you know, a kid could understand and kind of took a different approach that no one had ever done. And, you know, we'd go to these conferences and the billboard outside had the same stock image that everybody's flyer inside had and da da da. And we're bringing in animators or we're doing custom illustration and these really creative stuff that was more on the consumer side, but in a B2B space. And it really kind of set our clients apart. And we really noticed that was a success. So,
yeah, awesome. So I have a curious question. So you have, like you mentioned your, you know, your scope of work, different companies you've worked for, really just like your career, you know, journey. And if including like everything that you know now, specifically in marketing and then now more in the creative side of just business in general, what advice would you give to yourself if you were to start over again? Like, what are some of those key things that you've learned now having had industry experience that you would tell yourself?
I think the biggest thing would just be, which I've been even to this day, like I'm still practicing and learning the benefits of, but just the power of saying no. Like I said earlier, I've had so many random jobs and I've, you know, designing flyers for music venues and friends, brothers, startup companies and all this, like just kind of anybody that asked me for anything. I was like, yes, 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 yes. And while I got a bunch of amazing experience, if you fill that space and you don't create space for the stuff you're actually interested in doing, then those opportunities don't arrive. So by saying no, you're creating that space for the yeses that you do want to give. And so it's taken me, you know, 15 years to figure that out, but just putting that into practice and seeing the benefits of that and being able, being more selective about the projects I take on and also creating space for personal projects as well. You know, I think you can learn so much when you get an idea out and actually execute it. And a lot of times we've got these ideas, but because of work and other things, we don't actually execute on them. And the kind of high you get from doing that, you carry into your work and it's got kind of a trickle on effect. So I think that, and then I also think being more specific. I was kind of the type that was just kind of like applying for a bunch of jobs and the first one that came up, take it, right? And jump on it and early on. And now, like even having conversations with you, it's like figure out what it is you want to do or the areas you want to learn, even if it's not the job you want for the rest of your life. If you want to learn Google Analytics and that's your thing, go find a job, even if it's low on the totem pole, whatever. Find the people that are really good at that thing. And go take the lowest job you can get, but go be around the people that are the best at that and learn from them, because you're going to learn way more that way than you are holding out for a higher up position at a random company that uses Google Analytics.
Yeah, I think those are two great points. I think especially for people who are right now find themselves furloughed or laid off, kind of thinking, you know, where do I apply? I'm sure a lot of people are just applying a lot of places.
Totally. And a lot of that's financial, right? Like if your income got cut off, you've got to take what you've got to take. So if you've got the luxury of not being like needing something immediately and you can take a bit more time to find that perfect thing. But if not, like take anything, but look for the anythings that at least has a small part that you're going to learn something that's valuable that you can take into your next role when you do get back into the space you want to be.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Thanks for sharing that. So now I want to go into the last part of the Zoom talk, and it's really in the rapid fire questions. The first question I have for you, just from a marketing perspective, is what's your favorite tool or software that you've used?
Well, over the past few years, I've transitioned out of pure marketing and am heading in the creative space, which we've talked a lot about. But I think my favorite tool is just Adobe Creative Suite as a whole. It's such a monster of a product, and understanding it, whether I'm doing the creative myself and designing or animating, or I'm leading a team or leading a project that has those facets. Understanding how those tools work helped me communicate better with my creative partners and my designers and that sort of thing. So to me, that's clutch in the space that I'm in. I will say Google Analytics, I do wish that's the tool I wish I could master that I haven't. I've taken courses and gotten certifications and had gone to talks and that sort of thing, but it's just one of those things, like if you don't use it every day and you're not in there, it's use it or lose it. You just get lost immediately again.
Yeah, I agree. So now, what's your favorite online course that you've taken or class just to upskill within marketing or even creative?
I don't know about one specific course. I'm really big on YouTube tutorials. I'm constantly just watching, even if I'm not doing anything, I'm just watching them. Like I just have weirdly obsessed with them. But from a platform standpoint, lynda.com LYNDA is really good, and it's free right now, which is awesome. And the breadth of content they have on there and the quality of it is really good. And I think it's even worth paying for if you're going to use it, but it's free right now. So anybody that has been furloughed or has more time on their hands now that they don't have a commute, like, get stuck in. And LinkedIn acquired them. I don't know when, recently or a while ago, maybe. I haven't really followed up with it, but you can get, when you pass the exams, you can get a little badge for your LinkedIn page, I think, that shows a certification. So that's valuable as well. And especially in a very competitive job market that's coming up and or is here now and everybody's looking for jobs, like those little things might be the thing that sets you apart from the next candidate. So yeah, man. And HubSpot. You mentioned HubSpot earlier. Like you can learn so much from HubSpot.
Yep. What's your favorite book? And it doesn't have to be business or marketing, but what's your favorite book?
I'm not a big reader. I just don't have the attention span. But I mean, Think and Grow Rich is like a all-time classic that's timeless. And I go back and re-listen to that audiobook quite often. But I love that book. The cabin porn book, there's a story in there that, like, people just have it for the pictures of cabins, but there's a few stories. One of them made me cry. And I'm not ashamed to say that. Like, so I do really like that book, but I'm a big audiobook fan. I just got this app called Blinkist that target marketed me so much that I caved. And it basically takes books and summarizes them into a handful of blinks, which are like 2 or 3 minute summaries of chapters. So you can get through like a whole book in like 30 minutes. And what I've realized is like, I've listened to a few, like one of Seth Godin's books that I've read, I listened to the blink and it made me realize how much he repeats himself and just goes on and on and on and like oversells the topic or the point he's trying to make. And this just sums it up. And then they've got people like Tim Ferriss who have their all-time book list on there, and then you can listen to it as blinks. And so you can get through like his whole list and just get the nuggets to take away. So I'm really into that right now. But podcasts are kind of my thing. Although I've fallen off without a commute now, but I do like podcasts.
And my last question for you with this rapid fire questions is, who is your favorite marketer?
That's tough. I think the person I find the most interesting from a marketing standpoint, and it just comes down to the data piece. I wish I had invested more, and this goes back to an earlier question. I wish I had spent more time learning data analytics, like all things data, how to interpret it. I'm a big fan of leveraging data in creative and creative executions. But Avinash Kaushik, he's like the digital marketing like guru at Google. He's incredible and he's so smart. And like the way he takes data and then breaks it down into layman terms to understand. He's been on a lot of podcasts I listen to and I'm always just like fascinated by whenever he talks. He's got a really good newsletter and blog and stuff. So definitely check him out. And then like, you know, the Seth Godins of the world are obviously great. But yeah. Avinash is my guy right now, at least.
Awesome. So if people are more curious on learning about what you do and connecting with you online, what platforms are you on and where are you interacting with people on?
I'm on all of them, really. Like other than Facebook, I don't really use anymore, but yeah, Instagram or LinkedIn, like just Galen Driver, on both of them. But yeah, I'm not that interesting.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Galen. I really appreciate you hopping on this call. We've had a lot of great conversations on this Zoom call, but also offline through text, through talking before this. So I just really appreciate all the value you've added to me and also the value you've added to, some people who are potentially watching this right now. So I appreciate you coming on this call.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show to receive more content like today's episode.